God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's a great day today. We're baptizing two people, Roman and Nico. Why? Because it's the feast of the baptism of Jesus himself, and therefore, what better day than to bring these two young men, very young men, to the baptismal font and to make them Christians, because they're not yet. I have to confess, Nico is my grandnephew, so it's a particularly family moment for me today as well. But Roman is just as important and just as good. So today, of course, you hear the reading about Jesus himself being baptized, Luke's account. And after he'd been baptized, he heard a voice that said, "You are my son, the beloved one. In you I am well pleased." What's that all about? Well, first of all, John the Baptist, we have to talk about him for a second. John the Baptist came as a prophet, announcing that the hopes of Israel were near. They were about to be realized, and the people needed to get ready. In the context of the Roman occupation and many different currents of Judaism, including those who were actively rebelling, it was a political message as well as a spiritual one. But the point being that we have to put our trust in God and get ready. And the ritual bath of baptism was that symbol of getting ready, that we were willing to turn around and start preparing for what was coming. Since the very beginning of the Bible, actually the people of Israel, Thomas Cahill in his book, The Gift of the Jews, points out that the Jewish people changed the way human beings think about time. Until they came along, people thought of time as eternally recurring in cycles. But the Jewish people got us all thinking about the past, the present, and the future, and that the future belongs to God. So John is summing up this expectation in a very particular way, that the promised one, the anointed one, the Mashiach, the Messiah, was on his way, and you better get ready. Baptism, the word itself means to be drenched. It's a technical term. It's from the dye industry, la teinturerie. You have to be drenched, to be dipped in the dye. And so we are dipped, not only in water, but in the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to the question, rhetorical one, I know, but nevertheless, why did Jesus have to get baptized? Jesus, you know, the Word made flesh, truly human and truly divine. Why did he, of all people, need to get baptized? And the answer is, he didn't. Because we do. Why did Jesus come forward out of anonymity at age 30 to begin to gather disciples together and to teach them? Why did he have to do that? Well, he didn't. But we needed it. And why did Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem? As Luke says in chapter 9, set his face like flint toward Jerusalem to do what needed to be done. He didn't need to do that. And why did he freely accept death on a cross? He didn't need it. We did. We do. And why did he rise from the dead and ascend into heaven? Because we need it, not him. God got nothing out of Jesus dying on the cross. God did not need to be satisfied for something that we had done wrong. God did not have to feel what it's like to die, because God doesn't need that. We need to know that God knows. So why did Jesus get baptized? To begin to show us the way. And in every book of the New Testament since then, people are all baptized, and Christians are all baptized, even the people who don't believe that Jesus is truly human and divine, like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, they get baptized. It's what we do. And therefore, what we're doing today with Nico and Roman is absolutely what the church does. Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples, Gospel of Matthew. Teach them everything I've commanded you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're just doing what we're told because we need to. So why do we need this? And why is it that Jesus doesn't need this? Simply this. Jesus on earth is the way that God can enter our universe. God is not a part of it. God is not a datum of the universe, that there's a sun, a moon, a planet, Saturn, and there's a God. No. And God respects the creation God has made. It has its own way of being, and it's finite. And so for us to be, as what we are, finite creatures, to be able to become adopted children of God, well, we needed a way for that to happen. And the ultimate way that God did that, does that, will do it, because it's eternal, you know, is through Jesus coming for us, being for us. And finally, as we are baptized and drenched in the Holy Spirit, we become ourselves part of Christ, literally. Well, you might say, well, how can that be literally true? Well, it's true. If it's not true, there's no point to any of this, and I quit. Seriously, if this isn't true, if this isn't real, I can take my pension and quit. At least I have a pension. But it is true. And Paul, writing about this, calls us the body of Christ. That Christ continues on earth physically in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, he said. And therefore, Roman and Nico need to become a part of this body. We say members of the body of Christ, but in English and in French too, that can sound like we're members of a club. In this, it means the other kind of member, limb, part of the body, thumbnail, nostril. You choose whatever image you want of what part of the body of Christ you are. Okay, we won't go there. But you know what I'm saying, that as part of the body of Christ together, we are the body of Christ, and individually we are little bits of it. And for us to live out our baptism, having been drenched in the Spirit of Christ, having Christ literally living in us, then it is the way that we behave corporately as the church that is the doctrine that we need. It's not something that we just have to think and understand. Because frankly, you don't understand God. I don't understand God. Anyone who claims to understand God is, you know, speaking empty words. There's no, you cannot understand what is not part of the universe. Sorry, can't be done. Brain works in the real world. Here we are, this universe. But if we act as if we are the adopted children of God, then we are proclaiming what we really believe. And not only what we believe, but more deeply than that, what we actually are. Because as God is a relation, a set of relations that we very inadequately term Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then it is our relation to that that is God's will, that you are already the beloved children of God. And today God is saying to Nico and Roman, you are my beloved child. You are my son. Because you're kids, you're boys. You are my son. In you, God is well pleased. And in you, and in you, and in you. And therefore, as adopted children, Let's act like it. How do we do that? Well, this is where Jesus' teaching comes in. Helps us to orient ourselves. Because the church, you know, is often in history the you could see it as the proof of the reality of original sin. And by the way, this is not washing away original sin today. We've gone back to the earlier teaching that the Eastern Church has continued. These children were born innocent, although Roman's 8 years old, so he's already a little. He's able to think for himself. Nico's not there yet. But the point is, we're born into a world where evil holds sway, where as we grow up, we have to make compromises with it in order to survive. And it bends us and it distorts us. And that's what original sin is. And it's real. And we know it. We have a lot of proof of it. And so baptism is our way around that, our way through it, through the water of baptism, that we become able to act like the adopted children of God, whom we are, whom God intends, and the only way out of that is to say no. I suppose there are some people who really don't want the gospel to be true. But why would we say no? Why would we say no to life, to truth, to goodness, to beauty, to the reality that death is not the last word, it's really almost the first word, or the second word, of a life that never ends. That we together are the body of Christ and individually limbs of it, and that that body continues on earth with Jesus as its head, to be Christ to the world, to show forth hope. And I want to finish on that note. Now, when I say I want to finish, I really mean it. The presiding bishop, when he preaches, he said, now I'm going to finish. You're in for another 15 minutes. Tell him I said so. But I want to finish with this note. There is a teaching which sounds quite strange. One of the children in the adult forum is reading the Inferno of Dante in a comic book form. I want to read it, too. It sounds really cool. But as you know, if Dante's Inferno, when you enter hell, the gate has a note above it that says, abandon all hope, you who enter here. There's a worse thing than dying, and that's living without hope. And there are a lot of people who live without hope. The teaching is that Christ descended to the dead, to where the dead are. The old English word hell, the Greek word is Hades, the place where the dead are, because they are the ones who had no hope to tell them that they did. To tell you that, and I, that we have hope, that it is real. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is already here. Where? He's in us. And God in Christ intends for you and me to live, and to live well, and to live forever. Right, Nico? Right, Roman? You hear that? Yeah. And so let us all say, yeah.